Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Ford, featuring available Sync with My Ford Touch. Sync with My Ford Touch gets you to your destination with integrated turn-by-turn directions and directional arrows displayed on screen. Check it out in the new 2012 Ford Focus and at Ford.com/technology. And by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, Android device, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to Netflix.com/TWiT. What's up, everybody? Welcome to All About Android, episode 37, recorded Monday, December 5th, 2011. We are your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
Yeah, we're missing Eileen today. Eileen is being French, apparently.
She's a world traveler. We've got some guests, though, that are filling the void.
That is absolutely right. And both guests have actually been on the show a few times, I think. We've had both of you on a couple of times. First off, Nicole Lee, who is a new employee at TWiT. We're super thrilled to have you here.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes, I only joined, like, last week. Yeah. So I'm super new.
And we figured, you know, Eileen was going to be out, so this would be a great opportunity to kind of get you back on and talk a little bit about kind of what you are at TWiT to do, which is work on a product show.
From a product review show where we'll be reviewing a lot of Android products, actually, like a lot of Android phones, a lot of Android tablets, because there seems to be a new Android phone every week or every two.
Every second.
Every four minutes,
there's a new Android phone. So you still have Android phones in our review show. It's called Before You Buy, and it'll start in like a couple of weeks.
Cool. Yeah. I think I even have a device in my hot little hands here that'll probably be on the show sometime soon. We'll get to that later. And then over here on my right is Jason Apple the Bomb.
And out of left field comes a name I've never heard.
You've never got that one.
No, never, ever. I've got a lot before.
I'm surprised about that.
Yes.
It's all good. You're the bomb. So you're here with hack5.org?
Yeah.
And you were on at one point to replace me. You were the other Jason.
I was the other Jason.
Other Jason.
We Jason swapped, I think is what we call it.
Whoa.
That's a little strange.
Weird.
It is. Well,
that sounds dirty, kind of.
I know.
Yeah, it does. That sounds weird.
Now that I said it, I kind of want to take it back.
Whatever. Technically, it's probably true. On a technical level, it's probably accurate. So, well, it's good to have you guys here. Thanks for helping to fill the Eileen void. This week, we're going to be discussing, of course, because we can't avoid it, Carrier IQ, the new Droid Zyborg. Zyborg, which you may have heard of as the Zoom.
Is that how you pronounce it? Zyborg?
That's how I'm pronouncing it. I don't know. Is it the XY board?
I don't know.
I'm going to go with
so
XY
weird.
Board because
XY board.
There's no Zyborg? Way I'm going to say what you just said.
The Zyborg?
No, not happening. Just not going to do it.
Okay.
All right. We're also going to be showing off the Galaxy Nexus, which we have here in
Yay!
Person because of this guy. He came through. Check that out. It's pretty sweet. And of course, we're going to be covering a ton of 99-cent apps in the arena. But let's not waste any time. Let's go right to news. Oof. And Jason, I'm going to need to lean on you a little bit throughout this, because this whole Carrier IQ thing, I will admit, I know little bits and pieces about, but I'm still wrapping my head around it. So first off, Carrier IQ. For those not living under a rock, the name could have already sent shivers down your spine, whether appropriately or not. But for those who have no idea what I'm talking about, Carrier IQ is a third-party metric system. It allows carriers and manufacturers to know how your phone is being used. Android developer Trevor Eckhart detailed the many things the software does in a comprehensive video that include logging, purportedly transmitting data around your calls, location, keystrokes. In theory, much of that data is sensitive, of which Carrier IQ has denied any wrongdoing. Now, Carrier IQ isn't only found on Android devices. He had detailed kind of his findings using an Android device, but it's also found on all other phones, BlackBerry, iOS before iOS 5, among others. So I don't know. I guess this was the story as it kind of happened at the end of last week. And now we're kind of over the initial shock and awe of it. And I think what we're starting to realize is it's not as bad as people may have jumped to the conclusion of, right?
Maybe.
So hold on. You know Google Analytics that monitors what you do on a website and where you click? It's the same kind of idea, but the fact that it's on your cell phone makes it way more scary. And I really don't think there's too much credit to the fact that it's stealing your data, because it's just not.
I think the disturbing thing is that we didn't know about it, right? I mean, that's the main thing that everyone's getting all up in arms about, is that, okay, fine, track me, I guess, but why didn't you tell me about it?
But it's not so much tracking you as tracking, you know, usage patterns,
right?
Because it's really hard for carriers to put up cell towers when they don't know where to put them. So you know, if they find out that a lot of people are sending text messages from this spot in the BART line, it makes it really easy to go, oh, we need a tower there. No problem, because we have this much data that says lots of people type on their phones here. It doesn't say they typed this password during this session while they were on this website into this email field, and they said that their mom needed to, you know, get their mom flowers or anything like that. It's just, I think that the lot of information is just sort of shocking that carriers have. In all honesty, if they wanted to track you, they don't need to do it via your app on the phone. They can do it
from
the tower end.
Directly.
Yeah.
Right, because you're sending, I mean, anything that you send over data is sending as kind of raw data over their tubes, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, it's
unless it's encrypted.
Well, yeah. And when you encrypt
this, is a wake up call, essentially. Yeah. It's just like, you know what? Nothing you do is private, really.
But I don't think there was any real expectation of real privacy between you and your carrier, because your carrier knows everything already.
It's probably safe to assume that there isn't that.
Yeah, no,
absolutely.
If you assume
the worst,
you're probably going to get yourself into a heap of trouble at some point. And actually, Dan Rosenberg analyzed Carrier IQ's operation on a Samsung Epic 4G Touch to see exactly what they were recording, and came up with a few interesting kind of pieces of information. Carrier IQ can't record SMS text bodies, web page contents, or email content. There is simply no metric that contains that information. This particular phone can record with what dialer buttons are pressed, something that cell carriers could probably get, get every time you place a call, right?
Well, no, that bill you get at the end of the month that says you called this person?
Right.
They already have that. Newsflash.
cannot record any other keystrokes besides those on the dialer. Can report GPS location data in some situations. Can record URLs that are being visited, but not the contents of those pages.
Yes. The real important time to record GPS data would be like when you dropped a call. Because it's real important to know drop calls, where you dropped them, when you failed to send a text message, where you failed to send a text message, when you couldn't get data for your phone. That's important data that carriers kind of need, but they should be more upfront about it. But at the same time, it's like, it's not data they didn't already have.
Right. And Savage Mike in the chat room is actually kind of pointing out kind of the nugget that we're getting at, which is that, you know, he says it's hidden in a rootkit because, and I think that's kind of the big deal here.
Why was it so hidden? Why was it so wrapped in secrecy?
Yeah.
You know,
what's
I think
up,
that's the thing that.
One comment you just said when you were going through the various things that it's going to record, the last one kind of jumped out at me, that it can record the URLs that are being visited, but not the contents of the page. Mm-hmm. And my first reaction was, I agree with Jason, that call data, text message data, all that GPS data, they have that. It helps them optimize their service. But why do they need to capture the URLs that I'm browsing on a browser? That seems to be a bit much. But then I also realized your ISP knows that as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So really, this isn't that, you know, while we hold this data to be self-evident and truthful and what it needs, you know, our own privacy, this really is no different than a lot of
third-party
tracking.
It's also very interesting to me that apparently Nexus phones did not get this Carrier IQ.
Actually, Verizon, I think in general, have said that Carrier IQ has nothing to do with their phones.
There's a reason the Nexus phones don't have that.
Right.
Because the Nexus phones have nothing to do with carriers. Absolutely nothing to do with carriers.
Right, that's right. That makes sense, actually.
All Nexus phones are unlocked, including your Sprint phone. So the Nexus 4G is what Sprint touts as their Nexus phone. It's unlocked. Mm-hmm. There's no one you can take it to but Sprint, but it's unlocked.
So then now we're seeing, you know, or at least we were over the weekend, maybe now that will subside a little bit as people kind of understand the whole Carrier IQ thing more. But we're seeing, you know, people, Julio Araujo emailed the show and sent along a link to a ZDNet article that's finding and cleaning out your smartphone's Carrier IQ poison, which requires root for Android. So I guess the question now is, does it behoove us to do this? I guess if you want the choice, then you have the ability to remove it in one way or another, but it's not necessary. It's just
most carriers are probably going to rip this out in fear of losing customers.
At this point, it's a big.
I mean, this is like this has been like, does this phone have Carrier IQ? And it's just going to be sort of one of those buzzwords that everybody knows because it got blown way out of proportion.
Yeah, yeah, interesting. CyanogenMod also kind of came out over the weekend and said, "Hey, we're not putting Carrier IQ on CyanogenMod." Big surprise, of course. I mean, of course they're not. It wouldn't make any sense for them to do that. Mm-hmm. But so. Anyways, that's what we know about Carrier IQ, and I'm sure we'll find out more. Certainly does seem like it's been blown out of proportion, maybe not as big a deal as it's been made out to seem. So that's that.
Cool. So this is getting to be a weird week with news, both the Carrier IQ thing and this one.
Totally.
So some North Carolina State University researchers were examining Android smartphones from Motorola, HTC, and Samsung. And in a research project, they found out that those phones don't properly protect privileged permissions from untrusted applications. All right. So what they did was they looked at the HTC Legend, the Evo 4G, and the Wildfire S, the Motorola Droid and the Droid X, the Samsung Epic 4G, and the Google Nexus One and Nexus S, and found these pretty big leaks in pre-installed Android apps that are coming when you get your phone, that these leaks appear within the applications and aren't protecting your data. So apparently in reaction to this research report, Google and Motorola have both confirmed the vulnerabilities, whereas HTC and Samsung are, quote-unquote, having trouble accepting the reporting. And basically what it gets down to is that it's these vulnerabilities are allowing applications to exploit a number of public interface or service of another app without making a permission request, which can be hairy, which can is not Absolutely. What you want to see happen. Yeah, exactly. It also allows for other applications to get permissions from another app signed with the same digital certificate. So whereas one application got permissions, the other another application can kind of drift off those permissions and utilize those, which, again, not what you want to see happen. Basically, the report says an untrusted app on these affected phones can manage to wipe out the user data on the phones, send out SMS messages, for example, to premium numbers, record user conversations, and obtain user geolocations all without asking for any permission. Now, those are extreme cases of things that can happen. It's like basically some other application can use your phone, but these vulnerabilities are open enough that someone who is sneaky enough with an untrusted application that gets installed on your phone could potentially happen. So again, be careful what you install on your phone. Make sure it's from a trusted source. If you're going off the Android marketplace, make sure, you know, if you're on GetJar, if you're going installing APKs directly, make sure you know who you're installing it from, because you want to be safe.
Well, and especially with this here, these applications kind of having been already existing on, like, by stock, right? By default. I don't know. You're grinning. What's up?
I'm grinning because this is like the giant I told you so. I heard about this.
You didn't tell me so.
No, I didn't say. No. I mean in the fact that this is sort of kind of been a known but not publicized thing for a while. Mm-hmm. I'm glad it's finally getting publicized in a very sort of large way, because it is a software update. It is not hardware. It is fixable, which is good, because there are certain times if you're running applications like custom dialers and custom SMS programs, you've approved those programs to use it. But let's say install, like you said, an untrusted source. Mm-hmm. They could hijack your SMS. More importantly, they can hijack your data, which means that if they hijack, you know, data streams, they could push large amounts of data out of your phone, which is bad.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, I mean, so let's say you have a custom dialer that links into your contacts.
No, I know what you're...
Okay.
Yeah, I just didn't know that it was bad.
I just wanted to spell it out, just in case.
No, it's all good. Sorry about that. It's no good. I don't know. I have to imagine that they're kind of working to address this as quickly as possible.
You've got to imagine if both Google and Motorola have confirmed the vulnerabilities, and Motorola and Google, there you go.
Yeah.
They're both confirming it. HTC and Samsung having trouble with it. I mean, they're probably just they're digging in and trying to verify it on there, and they'll probably be soon to follow. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see some pretty big security updates coming from everybody across the board.
Totally. All right, cool. Well, Nicole, you want to go ahead and take the email?
Sure. Brett Bunton writes in and says, "Hi, Jason, Eileen, and Ron, and possibly other Jason and me. I was at Best Buy over the weekend. I looked for a simple docking station so I can play music from my Android. There must have been at least 15 different kinds made for the iPhone and a measly one for the Android. What's the deal here? I thought there were hundreds and thousands of Android phones being activated a day. If so, why aren't more companies making accessories for them? Of course, it's much easier and more cost-efficient to making accessories for a device that only comes in one shape and size. But I wouldn't think this would be such a factor for something like a docking station. Any insight would be appreciated." So he attached a couple of photos for from Best Buy.
That's the Philips
dock. That's like
dock.
The one... Philips dock.
Which doesn't work very well.
Okay. Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
Well, that's unfortunate. I don't know. You were freaking out a little bit there for a second. Go.
So it's coming.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Uh-oh. And you know what as well?
I'm intrigued.
There are tons of Bluetooth audio speakers.
Right, that's a good point.
That will work no matter what you have, really.
Absolutely.
HTTP, like Android, BlackBerry, iPhone, whatever, and they'll work as long as you have an A2DP phone.
I mean, Brad, you really kind of put your finger on the heart of the problem, which is there are so many for iPhone and iOS devices because there are so few types of those phones out there. Android, I mean, we talk about new devices every single week,
we
and they're all shaped
different ones right here.
Can I get everyone to hold up their phone? Because I want everyone to locate, screen up.
Screen up.
Ports to the camera.
So
everyone identify which way the flat end is, the larger flat end is, in their phone, because this is going
to
be interesting. My screen is going
to
be up. His is going to be upside down. But keep in mind, this is the bottom of my phone. This is the top of his phone. That's the side of her phone.
Yeah,
the bottom of his.
Side. And it's underneath this little flap.
Yep. And it's underneath the flap.
Underneath the flap.
On the bottom, upside down
like
on.
And also, I want to point out that the USB connector is really flimsy. So when you put a phone on it and wiggle it around,
so
you're going to break a $90 speaker dock, is going to break your $500 phone.
Someone in the chat room, CK Walker, suggested the Cable Jive Dock Boss.
Cable Jive.
That only works with
Dock Boss?
Yeah.
It allows you to use any iPod dock with an Android device.
But it's Bluetooth.
Is it?
I think Cable Jive.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Okay.
But it uses like any iPhone dock.
Yeah, but that's only
can be made compatible.
Well, that's an interesting kind of workaround. Certainly, it certainly allows you to open up the to the world of other devices for iOS. I'm
fascinated.
I'm looking at it for the first time. I mean, so then what is the solution? It sounds like Bluetooth is maybe the easiest all-purpose approach,
right. I mean,
but you lose a little bit of audio fidelity.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Right?
I was about to say
major audio fidelity.
Yeah, I was about to say that. You know, if you really care about your audio, maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe not, but if you just want a portable solution, then maybe.
CES.
All right.
So this is a preview.
All right,
CES.
Everybody.
This is what you call a tease in the industry.
CES. Come find me.
Okay.
I think we'll come find you then.
All right. Then.
Apparently you know something that we do not.
Apparently.
Maybe.
Not saying for sure. All right. Let's take a quick break and thank our sponsor, Ford, featuring Ford Sync with My Ford Touch. Sync is an in-car communications, entertainment, and connectivity system that's voice activated to help you keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. One of the great features of Sync is Sync Services. Sync Services gives you the audible turn-by-turn directions that let you know where you want to go, displays directional arrows on the screen, all without having to purchase an aftermarket or integrated navigation system. Sync Services also includes business search, so you can search over 40 million businesses. A send to sync feature, which enables you to use like Google Maps, MapQuest, all that from your home office, and then zap that over to your car for when you hit the road. And voice commands in your vehicle to get turn by turn directions make it easy for you to make those changes while you're driving. A free Sync Destinations app, which is available in the App Store, the Android market, you can look for that, and that gives you mobile access to manage your sync traffic, directions, information systems account, all that stuff on the go. And you can pre-save destinations to your account, like just have home there. So when you hit that voice command and say navigate to home or take me home car, it will point you in the right direction and you'll get there hopefully.
It's all like Paradise City at the same time.
Take me home to my Paradise City, Ford.
Take me home.
It's all designed to help you keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Sync with my Ford Touch is available in the 2012 Ford Focus. You can learn more about this.
I bought that, by the way.
What's that?
I do have a 2012 Ford Focus.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So do you drive that up to TWIT every day?
I do.
Yeah?
Every day.
You use the sync?
I do. I did today.
I plan on it too.
I do it all the time. Oh, I will do it tomorrow.
Awesome. We're going to have to remember that and have you talk a lot about it.
Sure.
Before I end up at the end of the ad, by the time I find that out. You can learn more about this and other technologies Ford is bringing to its vehicles at Ford.com/technology. And we thank them for their support. All right. Let's get into some meaty hardware. There's buttery smooth. There's meaty hardware.
Meaty hardware. I was on board for buttery smooth. I don't know about meaty.
It kind of feels junky.
Yeah.
Right. It's
right.
Buttery.
In more ways than dirty. You're right. I'm going to go ahead.
More so than the top of the show. Anyway.
Scratch that out of my vocabulary.
Meaty hardware.
Ron, integrate meaty hardware into your hardware review.
Well, yes, some meaty hardware by any other name. You might have heard that Verizon was going to be renaming the Zoom line. They're going to not go with the Zoom brand name, but they're going to call it the Zyboard or the XY board, depending on how. We don't exactly know how to pronounce it. I say Zyboard. I think that's what it's supposed to be.
I think it's Zyboard. It was Zoom, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is called Zyboard.
Zyboard, which is a weird name. But
it does sound weird.
CNET had some interesting pictures of the new Droid lineup that include pictures of the Zyboard. Chad, if you go left through that slideshow, you can see
that's a Droid 4, supposedly. The first couple of photos were.
But you see the interesting Battlestar Galactica-esque bezel with the angles on the corners, as well as the little kit that gives it an additional keyboard, and it shows how thin it is. There's the keyboard. There's it in action. Which I saw that and I was like, oh, that's kind of neat. I could see people carrying that around.
It looks like the Zoom that they launched into Best Buy. The Zoom Family Edition.
Oh yeah, that could be it.
And Jason's gone. Well, what I can tell you, seriously, he's gone. He's not here anymore.
He's gone.
He got really excited. It actually looks a lot like I have the Droid Razor right now, and it actually, I don't know if you can see, but it has the kind of etched edges on
the side. Oh, there you go, Jason. Other Jason.
And I'm back. This is the Zoom Family Edition that they launched into Best Buy exclusively. Here, there's the front of it. And it's a lot thinner. It's got that metal back on it.
Yep.
So sorry to run away there, but this looked way too much like what they launched.
It does look very similar, except this one has a little bit of a angled corner.
Yeah, I mean, there's no angled corners here, but here, I'll turn this guy on.
Well, I mean, it's clear that they're evolving the product line. I mean, you see that from the Zoom to the Zoom Family Edition to now the what I call the Battlestar Galactica version.
It's a lot thinner.
No, that's a lot thinner than the Zoom. I do think it's interesting. When we talked about the rumored Zoom 2 a few weeks ago, we were kind of talking about how if they're coming out with something that's named Zoom, it has to be really, really good. It's interesting that they actually ended up changing the name for the U.S. market to kind of, I guess, distance themselves from kind of the Zoom launch. And I don't know. It wasn't the most successful
Tablet
in the
world. Yeah, the Zoom wasn't too successful, was it?
Yeah.
Maybe that's.
I think
it promised more than it delivered.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I think that to differentiate itself from the very thick tablet that people kind of think is the first Android tablet that's sort of slow and chunky. And
yeah,
I think it's a good idea to change up the name.
Hey, as a Zoom user, I've got no complaints about the Zoom I've got. More and more, and yes, it's a little heavier and it's a little. I wouldn't even say it's clunky; it's just heavy. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
But as a tablet itself, it was. I mean, from a first kind of iteration, I thought it was really good. This being as thin as it is, and I want to feel what the weight looks like. It looks like Motorola is really trying to improve the line, and it could be a contender.
Yeah, no, and that's good. I like what I see there, and having the two different sizes too. Obviously, I think that's a good move as well.
And I'm by no means am I absolving absolving the Zoom of its weight guilt. You know, like that was a brick. It's a brick.
It's just a brick that you're okay with.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Yeah.
You can live with it. Mm-hmm. Well, I have, and then we'll get to your awesomeness here. I have, just to keep it on the Motorola tip, I got the Motorola Razr here. And I've been playing with it for, I shouldn't show you that. That's a teaser for the future. I don't have Motoblur installed on here right now. I spent the weekend with Motoblur, and I'm just not a fan of Motoblur, so I had to get off of it. But I have the Motorola Razr. I'm spending probably about a week and a half playing around with it, and then I'm going to do a review for...
Before you buy
for the show with Nicole Lee. And I got to say, my initial impressions with this... I mean, obviously, you know, everybody in the news is talking about how thin it is.
This is the Rime.
Oh, yeah. So this is the funny thing, right? Because I've been using the HTC Rime for a little while. And, I mean, the difference is just staggering here.
Like, this is the Rime and this is the Razr. It looks like it's the anorexic cousin.
Totally. And then when you take a look at the screen size, I mean,
right.
I don't know, like... The Rime was easier to use with one hand, obviously. And I think I took that for granted because once I got the Motorola Razr, I find like holding it with one hand and doing the things like dragging down that top menu, the notifications bar and everything, doing it with one hand, sometimes I feel like it's going to slip out of my hand because it's so thin and light that it just feels like it's just going to drop. Whereas the Rime, it's really easy to just have it there and, you know, use
that's
it.
That's an HTC versus Motorola, I think.
Totally. And I think another thing is just that the Rime has the very HTC kind of like rounded edges.
Yeah.
And it just feels nicer in the hand. The Motorola Razr, for as thin as it is, and it is very thin and very light, the kind of hard edges that Motorola seems to like, I don't know, it just makes for a less comfortable day-to-day using experience.
There are people that do like it. Mm-hmm. They do like it.
Absolutely.
They love those hard edges and they love that bulge.
Yeah, the chin.
Bulge.
Yeah, the little hump chin. on the top.
Yeah.
That houses the parts.
Ain't no hump. And I gotta say, so on the show in the past, I've kind of railed against Motorola for my experiences with their camera. I take it all back on this sucker. The camera on this is awesome. I've had such good experience using both the rear facing camera and the front facing camera, which makes really good video. Like I was recording video with my daughter, and it's like HD quality. Like it looks really good. It's crazy that you're getting that on a front facing camera, but you are. Tell me something, because you know you have a lot of experience with all these different devices. Mm-hmm. If a front facing camera is 1.3 megapixel, which I believe the camera is on this, mm-hmm. that doesn't translate into the video quality.
It doesn't.
Right?
I think it has something to do with the software, the video capture software. I'm not entirely sure how it works out with the lens, but there's a lot to do with the software.
Because you hear 1.3 megapixel and you're like, oh, okay, that's all right. That's kind of standard. But then the video is actually capable of recording HD video.
HD video.
And I'm like, how is that possible?
Yeah.
It's the sensor.
There you go.
So you can have 18 bajillion megapixels. It doesn't actually mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything.
So cameras that say, oh, you have 18 megapixels, it's irrelevant. It's because they made the sensor pixels really, really tiny on the same size sensor. Mm-hmm. So the way that you get higher quality frame rates is by increasing the size of the sensor, because the trick about HD video isn't so much the resolution as the frame rate. Mm-hmm. So the reason that you don't encode 720p on a really, really terribly dense sensor is because it's going to look terrible. It's going to look, you know, like you're doing the robot because it's not getting enough light.
That might actually be exactly what I'm looking for. The robot?
No, I'm sure they've got some test phones out there where they've got, you know, 18 megapixel front facing cameras where you can do the robot.
Okay, but, good.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I know, right?
But it's all
about the sensor and the number of how much light you can get into it. And that's why low light performance and better sensors and blah, blah, blah.
Right. Well, I'm very happy to report that the camera on this sucker is really good. So if that's an important thing for you, early indications from my playing with it tell me that I would love to have this kind of performance. Of course, I probably will when we get there, you know, when we get to the phone that you have. But just real quick, I'll also show this off here. It's going to be hard for me
really
to do this without
a tease on Jason's
dislocation of my shoulder to get this
there we go.
Accurately.
He's elbowing me aside.
Sorry. This is the Wim 1. Now, we've had Wim on the show a few times. Android Open, we talked about him. We've had We've had the CEO, Tim, why am I blanking on his last name? Well, we had the CEO of WIM on the show many episodes ago. And the WIM is the little wearable Android device that syncs up with your phone through Bluetooth, that has GPS, Wi-Fi, does a whole lot of things, a whole lot of different stuff. And they're trying to get Android app developers kind of on board for creating things like different clock faces and stuff.
Oh, that's so cool.
So
it is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty nifty. I'm getting used to having a huge watch on my wrist after not having a watch on my wrist for like years. So that's a little strange.
It's not that big though.
It's not that bad.
It's no bigger than the LA D-bags watches that I see down in Los Angeles.
I mean, although
I don't think I have any of it.
How hot does that watch get?
I have not noticed it get hot at all.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Cool.
Does the screen size, is that like a deterrent?
It is a deterrent for things like entering in text.
Oh, you know, I would hate to enter my password.
Like if you've ever been on like old school video games and you're trying to enter your three letters and you have to scroll through the entire alphabet one letter at a time. It's kind of like that. And so where that really gets annoying is when you're trying to connect to a wireless hotspot. And you have to enter in capital this letter, 10 lowercase letters, three numbers, blah, blah, blah.
Passwords in general, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any password with any valid security.
Yeah.
It's not the easiest thing in the world to enter that stuff. But but anyway, so this is another device that I'm playing with. I've got two device reviews kind of going at once, and I will surely talk about this on a future show and, of course, cover on the review show as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
But let's get to the awesomeness that is in this room, Jason.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about your phone.
I was like,
wow.
The awesomeness is in
the
room.
Phone.
Yes, we finally hit it on
I'm
it.
Down today. Come up today. If I had known this, I would have.
Yeah, Ron.
You really it's in the dock. No,
it's all good. We forgive you.
So
you're a busy guy.
So here it is.
The Galaxy Nexus.
This is the Galaxy Nexus. This is a GSM Galaxy Nexus.
Okay, so unlocked. This is the GSM one, not the Verizon purportedly.
Correct. This is not a Verizon. No, this is a GSM. This is, as you can see, it's running on T-Mobile there.
Okay.
It is like septuple frequency. It covers every frequency on the planet.
It's all the frequencies.
Yeah, right. Everything but CDMA. And
right.
It's
GSM
everything.
One. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's everything. It will work on AT&T's 3G, T-Mobile's 3G, 3, Voda, whatever. You name it, it works.
Mm-hmm. Pentaband, that's right.
What? Is it Pentaband?
Pentaband.
Pentaband. Sure. Pentaband. I mean,
that works.
Whatever. So, it's kind of awesome. So the best part about it is I feel like they've really taken huge strides to fix the problems I've had with Android. I think there's the inconsistency issues have really started to be fixed because instead of having buttons, it's got the soft keys, which actually don't look like soft keys. And even in the shot, it really looks like that.
It really borrows heavily from Honeycomb in that sense.
Yeah, it's completely based on Honeycomb. Mm-hmm. So if you like Honeycomb, this is very Honeycomb related.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go in to see the apps, they no longer go up and down. It's left, right. And if you continue to go, there are widgets.
The widget icons.
Awesome.
Yeah. Right. Well, here's the cool part. So I'm going to uninstall Netflix. Not like I should ever do that. But if you check that out, there's an uninstall button up top.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. That's similar.
Right there.
Yeah, it's very similar to Honeycomb. Folders, as you can see, I actually just made a folder by accident.
That's how easy it is to make folders.
Yeah, exactly. You just sort of drag things on top of each other, and they make folders. I'm actually really impressed with a lot of the things on here. The camera's awesome.
Yeah, I was playing around with it a little bit
right,
before the show because that's kind of a big deal for me.
Is it truly zero shutter time?
Test it.
What's up? It was super quick.
Yeah, no, it's
an instant shutter. Take a photo and see how quick it is.
I can take lots of photos. So I've taken about 15 photos right there.
So it's truly zero shutter speed.
There's no shutter lag. So there we go. There's the 15 photos I just
Look
took.
Look at that.
Or seven.
And then
but that's
or
okay.
Seven.
You were half.
Whatever.
there were a lot.
So panorama's really easy. I'm not going to sit here and do panorama.
Yeah, it would
but
be hard to do panorama.
Yeah, I have one I took earlier. So let's take the one I took earlier. Stop looking at myself. So, Twit Studio in panorama.
That's the panorama, the built-in panorama.
Yeah.
Cool.
As you can tell, I actually just literally spun around in a circle.
In the corner.
You don't really have to pause. So although this, I imagine the slower you go, the sharper. Yeah.
Yes. It actually tells you to slow down. You know what? Let's do it. Why not?
Well, it's going to be really hard to follow.
Oh, yeah,
camera.
Yeah. I'm not going to sit here and spin around. It's got good zoom. So let's flip this camera around and let's go stare at Chad if I can bend it up around. It's got great zoom and it maintains quality pretty.
Wow, good aim.
Pretty decently. I can take a picture. Hold on, let's focus. I'm going to do it.
Focus, focus.
It's still a little blurry just because it's zoomed in so far in.
Digital
yeah,
zoom.
I'm way
digital
far, zoom. Way zoomed in.
Yeah, you're way zoomed in.
But it's still able to take pictures pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Well, Chad is super noticeable because of his hair.
Yeah, his red hair.
I had a pretty easy target there.
Now, we were talking a little bit before the show about kind of some of the developer tools that you were really excited about.
Yes, I was actually going to show off one thing, though.
Oh, okay.
App switching. It's finally everywhere. It's everywhere, and you just kind of tap on it, and it takes you into all sorts of things.
So how did you get to that screen? Can you show us?
Yeah, it's right there. My big thumb is in the way.
Okay.
It's right there. That button takes you to app switching.
Okay.
And it's all there, and it's quite easy. Then we were talking about developer tools. They fixed it. For any developers out there, it's fixed. So when I say that, so let's go ahead and jump into settings from the top. Developer options. So any developer can
identify. Can I just say, I love the way they redid the settings screen.
Yes.
Yeah,
the settings screen is so much nicer.
It's way simpler. Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
So much
simpler. Let's go ahead and show that off.
I mean, the settings, look at that. It's so much nicer.
Yeah, so I'm going to go to the top. It's got Wi-Fi data usage, which, by the way, data usage is awesome.
Okay. Oh, cool. That's all the graphs and stuff.
Check it out. Yeah.
Ooh, awesome.
Oh, look at that.
It does a breakdown of what I've used. You can change your period. You can set your limits. You can set your warnings. You can set your hard outs. So if you have a hard out at 5 gigabytes, you can set it. But it'll break it down. So I've used 1.8 megabytes between the 3rd and January, which is it's just my billing period, I guess. You can change the dates. And it just kind of breaks down.
The way they organize this is really well done.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it just breaks down what everything's using.
And it's actually easy to use. For people to really use data management tools like that,
absolutely.
You have to be able to look at it and for it to
be
somewhat intuitive.
You can slide the, just do the warnings, you just slide it around.
That's really cool.
So if we need more, just up it. So now I've got a 1.3 gigabyte warning, which I think you can see. Yeah, I just slid it down. Then the hard out is the red line up top. And you can adjust your time frame like that. It's pretty straightforward.
Cool.
But yeah, all the other settings are pretty much the same as you're used to seeing them. It's just reorganized into something that makes more sense. Device-based, personal, and then all the way down here in system.
I guess some people want to see the back of the phone. Like when they want to see the curve.
There is no bulge.
The curve.
Yeah, there is. There's a little lip at the bottom.
There's a little bit of a curve.
Oh, there is a tiny.
Somewhat.
Oh, sorry. Got to target this here.
It's not really.
Yeah, that's a terrible shadow, but.
And I also, something I really like about this is.
Do we have a comparison piece here?
Oh, you know what? Put it up against the
lady
Motorola
phone. Lady phone.
Razor.
Lady phone? Which phone?
For what, the bulge? Because the lady phone doesn't really have
one.
No, but it's a lot thicker.
I was just comparing the bezel.
Do we have a Nexus S, maybe?
Yes, we do have a Nexus S somewhere.
We have tons of phones.
Well, we'll figure it out.
This is really hard to do while holding up.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, thinner, obviously.
Yeah, it's thinner in every respect.
So the back of the phone, I mean, that's basically like where
it's also a lot bigger.
We should also say it feels kind of... Not cheap lightweight, but sort of good lightweight.
Yes,
right?
Agreed. It definitely feels pretty solid in the hands.
Does it not have that plasticky feel that the Nexus S have? I mean, that back.
No. That's the question.
It doesn't have a plastic.
It feels way more solid than
that
the
grip. It's got that grip.
This is a grip. This isn't a soft surface.
Yeah,
that's
like a texture.
It's a texture, but it's more like a plasticky, not plasticky, grippy.
Grippy,
yeah, plasticky,
grippy, but not rubbery.
Not grippy, but not rubbery. This is terrible. We're describing materials. It's all around. The screen is almost edge to edge. You can see the border on there. It's fantastic how large the screen is, and the keyboard. The keyboard is drastically improved.
Oh, let's show the keyboard then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look at that.
So. The keyboard is
drastic. A little bit of a glare with the
lights. I want to rotate it. So the keyboard's bigger. Okay. Rotate.
Rotate.
Yeah.
So
it is a little bigger.
It's a lot bigger. But yeah, absolutely. The keyboard's bigger. It's easier to use because it's bigger. I dare not type as contacts might come up.
That's okay. You don't need to.
That's fine. It's okay.
But do show the developer
stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Cool.
So yes. Developer, as we got, before we got sidetracked, developer tools, they fixed it. Like I said, okay, so most developers, you are used to seeing, here, I'll turn off stuff so that they, it's not, yeah. So developers, you're used to seeing, did I mess it up? Cancel. Developers, you're used to seeing this. Well, now
USB,
it's this.
Debugging and stay awake.
All of that.
So a lot of really ones I want to keep on here that people will be excited about. Do not keep activities. So when you're developing an application, it doesn't allow you to keep the activity you're working on. It just trashes the activity you just killed in your debug environment, and it works. You can limit background processes. Actually, Chad, yeah, that's pretty standard up there. Limit your background processes. Show the not responding window for background processes that have crashed. So if you have a background process running while you're doing your development, it will tell you when your service has bit the dust. A bunch of really cool stuff I'll show off quickly. It actually shows you where you touched. Oh, sorry. Went a little ahead of myself. It'll show you where you've touched. So
cool. Very cool.
So it'll give you actually the hit points.
Yeah.
It gets cooler. It does pointer location. So it'll actually, you have to zoom in.
Oh, cool.
It'll actually show you where you're drawing. And the cool part, if you go to the top of the phone, slide down and see if I can do this. That right there is the XY coordinates of what you just drew.
Oh, that's very cool.
So gestures are going to get awesome. It's not guessing anymore, which is great. The other cool part, you can show CPU usage. So when you write a really intensive app, you'll know exactly what's going on
and
what thread.
All that stuff on the side there,
yeah. Yeah, it'll actually tell you what threads are running behind there as well. And then one last thing. Remember how you had the problem of what's being redrawn? Well, they fixed it. Now they're actually showing you what's redrawing and the order in which it's redrawing. You can go read the documentation to figure out what colors mean what. But it's flashing when it does the redraw, which you can barely tell on.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yep. It got ridiculous. There's also strict mode. It's basically when you perform an operation on the main. This is getting really geeky and technical, but anyway, when Android performs an operation on your main thread, you can sometimes hang your main thread, making an app not very responsive. Well, what you can do is throw a red box around anything that interacts with your main thread, so you can optimize how long you interact with your main thread for.
Nice.
So, all right, apps are gonna get awesome.
Someone in the chat room says, "All right, Applebaum, what do you not like about it?"
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yes, there's no global search. It's obnoxious. That's about it.
So that's a global search?
No, in order to search, you've got to go home, which is one extra step. So if you go home, there's the search icons right at the top of my thumb.
Oh, so
that's
so
the
how is that different from before? Because
hold up your phone. There's a search button on it.
Well, yeah, but
hold that down.
No, yeah, well, oh, app, if you it hold it down.
Hold it down, yeah.
Okay.
Hold it down is gone.
Because I knew that, you know, the search button obviously is always there, but it has different functions based on the app that you're running. But if
it
you hold it
down,
it's a global search. And yeah. I didn't realize that.
Oh,
I never knew that.
I didn't know that either.
Surprise Android tip.
There we go.
Yeah,
that's
hold
great.
It down. It'll give you your speech recognition box.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's global search.
Oh, I guess so. I just thought of that as my voice command.
Yeah, but there's also you can also program that to be global search.
No, you're right.
Which is obnoxious because I use it all the time.
Okay.
Other than that, what I don't like, no SD card slot, but it's 16 gigs, so I don't care.
GSM is 16 gigs. Verizon is rumored to be 32, possibly the option of both.
And also, you know, it's Google, so a lot of stuff is stored on the cloud, right?
Most stuff is stored. All my music is stored on the cloud.
Yeah, so is mine.
Mm-hmm. 16 gigs is, I haven't filled 16 gigs on any phone I've ever had. I've always stored things on the cloud, and I've always used Dropbox if I ever need something bigger.
Right.
Because I'm never traveling with movies on my phone. Maybe I should be, but.
A few folks in the chat room wondering how the screen fares in like bright sunlight.
Same as the Nexus S.
Oh, okay.
So they both fare very well.
I mean, this screen is supposed to be like, what, HD quality, right?
Yeah, it's actually super. It's real 720p. So if you turn it and look at the, because you can actually, nope, can't see it. I was going to say, if you look, it's actually 720p because it's wider and taller than most Android screens.
Yeah, and I mean, it's super crisp. That was one thing that I really wanted to see in person, see the display up close, see if I could still pick out those pixels, because all these phones, they have great resolution, and then when I look at it up close, I can just pick apart all those pixels, and it bugs me.
Yeah, I can't pick apart the pixels in this.
Yeah, no, it looks
pretty
really
dense.
Good.
It's very crisp. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
So, when are we going to get it? Verizon?
Good question.
It's possible that very soon Galaxy Nexus shipments have been arriving in stores. Some Verizon stores, I think you can actually go in and play with them.
Yeah, I played with one today.
Okay. Well, there you go.
There you go.
Heard from the man that seems to know everything.
And then the rumors were, at least on droidlife.com, was reporting that they're going to go on sale this Friday.
Yeah, and that's actually the date that we were talking about last week. The pre-order date of the day after last week's episode didn't happen, but the for sale date was always this Friday. Again, I'll believe it when Verizon says it's really want it to be the way.
Go with the rumors. Man.
I'm just looking at the unboxing. I'm actually looking at their unboxing. That's kind of interesting. My box didn't look anything like that. It looked like every other Nexus box I've ever
had. Well, if it's red, I mean, red is Verizon.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It came with the standard headphones and the standard USB cable.
Right. Yeah. And it's going to be a tiny bit thicker, from what I understand, on the LTE version.
Good bit, actually.
Yeah, a little bit thicker.
Battery life.
Of the LTE. And the battery life.
I've been putting it through its paces, traveling a bunch. It's awesome.
I've heard that the LTE version will have a slightly bigger battery just because.
It probably should.
Yeah. With the LTE.
Yeah, that's
LTE is going to drain battery life. No, I've been able to actually go 36 hours on one charge. Mm-hmm. So that's
damn good.
And that's heavy. I was traveling internationally, so that's heavy usage on data, that's tethering, that's everything.
That's insane. 36 hours?
36 hours before it dropped dead.
Wow.
Wow.
All
that's
right.
Pretty damn
I'm
good.
I'm sold.
Yeah, I know, right?
Ron's like in the store already, camping out.
Yeah, you're camping out of the sidewalk. That has to happen.
I'm going to go wait in line at Verizon as of tonight. I'll wait.
You let us know how that goes. All right, well, we should move on because we do have other things. Let's jump right into apps. Ron, you were excited about this.
We got an app update. About a year ago or so, Path came out, a stealth startup out of San Francisco. And Path, they released their iPhone app. And then a couple months later, they released their Android app. And I remember Eileen and I talking about it and just kind of shrugging and going, eh. It's just another photo sharing, another kind of like very light on the functionalities kind of app. But they released the second iteration of their app. And I got to say, I'm pretty impressed. And it's actually really good. Yes, it's social media-esque sharing, post comments, post photos, post your location. But the UI is really interesting. It's really intuitive. It's got this neat little plus sign that expands to we just saw that there in the video, to the navigation. Easy to post videos, easy to assign location, add your friends to it, cross-post to other social network stuff. It's got a very cool kind of cover that you apply to your profile page via the app. It kind of reminds me of like a mobile version of what Facebook's trying to do with the timeline. Mm-hmm. It's really this is a sometimes version updates aren't very much to shake a stick at. They're not very. They just change, tweak something here, add something new. This is almost like a whole new and different app, and I was really impressed by it. I've been using it for the past week. It came out actually Tuesday, the day after we launched, the day after we did our last show. And since then, I've been playing with it. I've been going out, and when I posted on Twitter and Google Plus, I've also been posting to Path. And it's been pretty interesting.
Do you have a lot of friends, connections using Path right now?
Not as of yet. I think I'm in like the 40s or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you should add me. I'm on it.
I will. Yeah, I will. My one complaint is I looked quickly. Like what I like for me for applications, like, especially like these, is I want to be able to manage a lot of the stuff via the web as well. And it looks as if, as of right now, it's all contained in the app.
Yeah, and also, I mean, Path is really designed for, people you know or close friends just because you have 150 friend max, essentially.
Right.
So it's for people you know. There's a whole bunch of science behind how many people you actually
share.
Yeah,
the Dunbar number
circles and all that sort of stuff. Well, circles is Google+. But
yeah, that's true.
But in terms of your spheres of influence. But But yeah, I have noticed an uptick since it came out, both, and it's cross-platform. A lot of my iOS friends are using it, and we're able to share each other across the app. It looks as if I was comparing the iOS version to the Android version, and they look pixel to pixel exactly the same.
It's really well designed for Android, actually.
That is, yeah. So, it's pretty neat. I mean, positioning it as a smart journal, which is an interesting way to do it. So,
there are a couple of things that the Android app does not have that the iPhone app has. The Android app does not have the little clock on the side, a little timeline, the timestamp essentially, and it doesn't have the filters, the cool, you know, the hipster filters. Yeah, but those are the only two things I noticed that it doesn't have.
But I'm using Pixelator or whatever.
So there you go.
Applying filters and then posting that photo.
Yeah, it's fine.
Cool. And just a really quick update. I'm always stoked when Maps gets an update. Google Maps 6.0 adds indoor mapping, which, it's one of those features that sounds great, and I just have to remember to use it the few times it would be handy.
This is awesome. Wouldn't it be awesome to, like, navigate, like, really confusing airports, like, you know, Chicago O'Hare or something? Like, where is the place I can eat food?
Right.
And you're like, take me to the food, you know, and... Indoor mapping is
one of those things that I never would have even thought about, and then I saw that and I was like, "Oh, you got to be kidding me! That's amazing."
I'm happy, although I do have a qualm though
about Google Maps updates, because it seems as if they're rolling out updates, like, it seems weekly now, and it seems every time that I go to open Google Maps, I'm somewhere in the middle of San Francisco. I need to know where I'm going, and I open up the app and I get that "What's new in Google Maps" thing, and it's one step away from getting to where the map I need. I get so annoyed. So
I don't care what's new.
Yeah, exactly.
I care though. It bothers me that I have to click OK because I need to use the map.
Exactly. In that scenario, I want to know what's changed, but I'm standing in the middle of North Beach trying to figure out how to get to the restaurant. And I just want to.
I feel your pain.
Maybe they need to have, like, up at the Google Maps logo, like a little, like, blinking star when an update happens, and you click that, and then you get it.
That star would explode with how fast they're updating.
That's true. The star gets bigger and bigger with every.
So I guess different companies or whatever will get together to sort of allow Google to map out their buildings, I guess. And so far, the people that have agreed to do this is Mall of America, IKEA, Home Depot, the usual, you know, malls,
Macy's,
and all that.
Bloomingdale's,
Chicago O'Hare, SFO.
It's a trike.
Should do this. You know who should allow them to do it? Disneyland should allow them to do this.
Oh, yeah.
Theme parks in general, right?
The lawyers would have a cow.
That would be really cool, though.
It would be amazing if lawyers didn't have a cow.
I mean, like, literally, I've spent hours teaching my sister the different shortcuts through Disney World, how to get from one section to the other section, that sort of stuff. Imagine doing that virtually through
Google
Maps.
That's so awesome.
That's cool.
Nice. All right. So check it out if you haven't got that update yet. And then next time you go to the airport, like, I'm waiting for the next time I fly somewhere just to open it up and be like, that's what it does. It's awesome.
I've used it.
I've used it
at the airport.
Oh, yeah.
It's very, very cool because it's the trike that does it. And they take really high quality photos. You can go look up the Google mapping trike. It's pretty cool.
Trike.
Nice. Yeah, it's a Google mapping trike.
That's awesome. All right. A voicemail. Well, actually, this is a video mail. Charles sent us a video mail. He got a Nook tablet and he made some improvements to it and wanted to share. So here we go.
Hello, everyone at All About Android. I'm making this video how smooth my new Nook tablet is with Go Launcher installed as my home launcher. I've got all my favorite apps organized nicely in folders here at the bottom of my home screen. I've got my main folder, podcasts, movies, music, games, and inside any folder, when you have more apps than will fit in one little window, you just scroll over. I've got utilities and quick, easy access to all the settings on my tablet. To see all the other apps installed on here, you just go up to the apps icon in the corner. I can look at all of them where I have more folders in here. I've got a Google folder, and I've got a reading folder with all my reading apps. And I can look at recent apps that I recently used. I can look at running apps. I can close an app if I want by clicking on it and clicking close. To get back, I just click the home icon, and that's Go Launcher on my new Nook tablet.
Nice.
That was pretty smooth.
That.
Very well shot, too.
It was very well shot.
I could not run that in the show.
Professional. Very professional.
Yeah, but I just thought it was an interesting way to honeycombify your Nook tablet without actually rooting it. I mean, he didn't root it. He didn't do anything really special.
Oh, that wasn't just rooted?
No.
No.
Okay. Wow, yeah. Awesome. That was fast. I like that. I should do that. I like think that's awesome.
There you
Good
go.
Good job.
So check out the show notes to see that video. And let's take a quick break before we jump into the arena. We'll thank our other sponsor, Netflix, streaming thousands of TV episodes and movies directly to you instantly, saving you time, money, and hassle. You can get it a number of different ways. You probably know about them by now, but Mac, PC, Xbox, 360, PlayStation 3, Roku, your Android device, iPhone, iOS devices, all that stuff can stream Netflix in one way or another. You can begin watching a movie or show on one device and then move it over to the next device if you so choose. Whatever way you choose to access these videos, you can watch as many movies and TV shows as you want anytime you want and cancel anytime. So go try Netflix if you haven't already. You can try it for 30 days free. It's netflix.com/twit. Be sure to use that URL when you sign up for this free trial. It's netflix.com/twit. We thank Netflix for their support of Twit. We hope you enjoy watching instantly on Netflix. Ding! All right, let's jump into the arena.
Two enter, one lives. The Android Arena.
Boom! Yes, okay.
Is he declaring victory?
I'm already celebrating.
Ron's already celebrating. Yeah, he's already declaring victory.
You're already celebrating. I was afraid of that. Yes, it is true. Last week's episode, where I got the URL wrong, but still plenty of people came out to vote. Plex for Android and Google TV wins with 43% of the votes. My Node Beat comes in second at 36%. Square Card Case comes in third at 21%. Good job.
Is that like a rude gesture, Daron? Like, what is
what
that?
What are you saying?
If I'm not like that, then it is.
Block. Congratulations, because I honestly, Square is just kind of a really recognizable big name. I just kind of assumed Square was gonna do well with this.
But Plex is as well. I mean, I think Plex is an up and comer in that whole home entertainment space.
Sure.
Honestly, I didn't expect to win. I thought I was going to lose to both of you. To be honest, I thought they were both pretty cool apps. But I'll take
Plex
it.
Awesome.
Two wins in a row.
Of course, you'll take it. That's awesome. Congratulations. Now, I can't remember what we decided last week. Did we decide that the loser goes first or the winner goes first?
We decided loser goes first.
Yeah. Okay. Well, of the people that were here last week, I suppose I am the loser. So I suppose I will go first. And thankfully, I'm not going to take a whole lot of time. This is actually very straightforward. This week's face-off are 99-cent apps. So we had to find an app for 99 cent in order to even battle. All right.
Which was very challenging. I got to admit, I spent an extra long time in the market searching for the 99 cent apps, and it was hard.
It was hard, way harder than I thought. And I mean, there's no easy way to go into the Android market and just search for 99 cent apps.
And also the problem is that you can't. I tried Google searching 99 cent Android apps, and I got a ton of sale, 99 cent app, buy by Thursday. And it was like,
right, limited time only.
Yes. So you just literally have to just look for apps and look at the price point and then move on if it's not.
I found if you search 0.99 in the market, it just flies.
Oh, really?
Oh, did that work?
Yes, because it's 0.99 is the dollar they put on it.
Look at the programmer on the show.
I know.
How to use the searches.
Good thing that's the only tip that he's had on this show.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only thing that he's brought to this show that we didn't know.
I didn't know I'd need to know regex to be on the show this week. That's
awesome. Raising the bar just that much.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but it's true. All right, so my app is actually, I wasn't sure how to go about this because Go Locker has been done in the arena, right? I believe I was gone for the lock screen replacement episode.
I did Widget Locker, yeah.
You did Widget Locker. Eileen did Go Locker, I think, right?
Yep.
Pretty sure. So, but I thought that maybe I would win just off the fact that a lot of people out there don't have Ice Cream Sandwich and they kind of wish they could mimic the lock screen of Ice Cream Sandwich because it is a pretty nice lock screen. What do you?
Ice Cream Sandwich.
Oh. I thought you were showing off.
No, I'm not showing off anything.
This is my time.
No.
My time down here. Okay, so this is it. This is Go Locker Ice Cream Sandwich. It's as simple as that. It's a 99 cent. Lock screen for Go Launcher. Here we go. And hey, what do you know? Looks pretty ice cream sandwichy. If you hold that down, you've got a few more options than you do on Ice Cream Sandwich. You can go directly to a phone call right there.
That is
bad. Hold on. I'll get this locked here. Off. On. All right. There you go. Up takes you right to the camera, of course. And that is something that I use regularly. And then, of course, with this camera, it's super quick to take pictures. I'm pretty happy with how fast that is, but that's an aside. And then you've got your standard home screen if you go down. And then to the right is messaging. I just thought people are waiting for Ice Cream Sandwich. One of the real big characteristics of Ice Cream Sandwich is the lock screen. And while this isn't a perfect, port, by any means, it is certainly a good way to kind of get yourself there. And really, 99 cents is not a whole lot if you really want to mimic this on your phone. So that's it. There isn't a whole lot more to talk about this. Go Locker. You have to have Go Locker, and that's a free app. It's a lock replacement. Check out a previous episode if you haven't seen it before, but it's actually really impressive. I like it a lot as far as lock screen replacements go. And this is Ice Cream Sandwich lock screen replacement.
Can I point out that that was $1, not 99 cents?
No, it was 99 cents.
Oh, snap.
$1.
Oh, snap.
Oh, 1 cent. Did I just disqualify myself for a cent?
Hold on. Let me rewind this. In order to play, you have to find an app that's 99 cents.
Busted.
Busted.
Yes, it's a technicality, but you're out.
Honestly, to be quite honest.
That's fierce.
To be quite honest, I did not expect to win this week. This is the best that I came up with. I was like, wow, I'm so going down. So I actually feel okay going down with the technicality.
Ever since we made the whole competition get amped up a couple of weeks ago, I'm going to jump on every opportunity.
Wow, so it's a three horse race right now, and I'm just sitting off the side eating popcorn.
Just because of a penny.
So who goes next then?
That's really
That would be
sad.
Ron.
Yeah.
So I go next. So so I was desperately looking for 99 cent apps. And like I said, I was searching and I was trying to find, I wanted to find a really nice, good productivity app because, you know, I like those kind of things. But then I realized as I was browsing that those who watch the show know that I'm a casual gamer. I don't use my phone a lot to play games. But the one game I do play that I've been playing ever since it came out is actually 99 cents on the Android marketplace. And that is the Konami re-release of the X-Men side-scroller arcade game. And for those who also watch the show know that I'm an avid comic book fan. I work in comic books in my day job. And of comic books, X-Men are my favorite. And I literally played this side-scrolling arcade game for several years in the early 90s in the movie theater in my hometown of Long Island. And so Konami finally ported it out over to mobile devices. And you've got it. So you can see it here on the Razer, right? It's a seamless port. It is fantastic. It's got everything that you love about the game. It's got the implementation of social features. So if you use OpenFaint or Facebook, you can post to it. But if you just hit solo game, you choose your character. You get to choose your levels. You get to choose whether you want to be I think you hit start.
Yeah.
Yep. You get to choose if you want to be Cyclops, Colossus, Wolverine, Dazzler. All the characters are there. And then you get some little animation. It's the straight animation from the arcade game. And then the controls are really good. It's the standard kind of overlay controls. On the left side, there's a circle where you can control the movement of the character. And then they're just basic. There's a basic punch, jump, and then there's special power button. And it's like the classic side-scrolling arcade game. For 99 cents, every bus ride that I'm on, this gets me keeps me entertained. For only 99 cents, not a dollar, you get a lot for your money. So it's definitely one that you can go back to and enjoy.
I'm really bad, Ron. I'm sorry.
The 8-bit audio from here, I don't know if you guys can hear the 8-bit audio or not, is awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. So it's got that retro feel.
Being
it's
told to plug it in.
Yeah, plug I don't it know in. Where the audio is. It's all good.
It's got that retro feel, that kind of 8-bit retro kind of fun, but it's also...
Yeah!
Jeez.
Violent game.
It is.
Oh, hey. It's
That's
a world.
Great.
They're protecting a world that fears and hates them. Come on, it's the X-Men. It's got to be violent. Ton of fun. So yeah. So if you like comic books, you like X-Men. If you like old 8-bit games, the old classic X-Men is the way to go. It's only 99 cents. You can't go wrong.
And hopefully you'll do a lot better than I.
Pretty guaranteed. For sure.
Wow, I just failed twice in a row. Okay, who should go next? Nicole.
I'll go next. So, okay, let's see. Love that. So, moving, so there's someone in the chat room that says, wow, how old are we to the X-Men one? And all I have to say is, pretty young, because this app is basically for kids. It's by Disney. It's called Where's My Water? And I basically learned about it because I went home for the holidays for Thanksgiving, and all my nieces were crazy about this app. It's basically, let's see, where's my water? So this little alligator, his name is Swampy, and he loves taking baths. Okay, so your job is to direct the water to him. Let me put it on the little stand here. Put it there. It's kind of like, it's very the same vein as Angry Birds and all those, you know.
With the level selection.
The level selection is very simple. So meet Swampy. It's a little cartoon, comic book feel there.
Is there audio for this?
Yeah, you have to increase the volume. A bit. So there you go.
I'll see if I can find the audio, but I think it's all hidden.
Yeah.
It's all good.
All right.
How's it?
So there you go. He lives in the sewer. And that's Swampy right there. He loves taking baths. That's his whole deal. And hopefully we can get to the screen, to the game. No. Oops. There we go. Sorry.
All right. I got it. I think I've got it. Check it out.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. So there he is. He has no water. The water's all up here. To get through the water, you have to, you know, you have to basically clear the dirt away. And there are all these like little three rubber duckies here. If you get them, you get bonus points. So I'm just gonna clear the. And yay, you have water. And you get three duckies. I get bonus points.
If you'd done worse, you get two.
Yeah.
Or if she wouldn't have gotten the 30 ducks.
Or none.
Or none. Like, you know how Angry Birds has like 2-star, yeah, 3-star? Yeah. The same deal. Like, yeah. So this one, you're like, oh, okay. So it's a different arrangement. It gets progressively harder as time goes on. Oh, I missed that one bird. No! So I missed that bird.
Oh, I see.
But
you cut the hole too wide and it will pass.
Yeah,
by
so I only got two duckies that time. Right. But as you can see, it's a really fun game for kids and adults alike. I mean, when I was at Thanksgiving, like, the 2-year-old played with this and she was fine with it. So a lot of fun. There you go. Only 99 cents on the App Store.
Nice. Now, this was an iOS game before Android, is that right?
It's on iOS and Android. So you can play on the iPad if you have one. I don't know why you would.
Was it released on iOS before it came to Android, or is it just kind of like?
No, I think it probably was. I'm not entirely sure. So there you go.
I have nothing wrong with that because there are so many good games releasing for iOS, and it's good to kind of get a port across as well, you know.
Yeah. And it's good to see a kids app, a kids game for Android.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool.
There you go.
Awesome. That is Where's My Water?
Where's
also
my water?
99 cents. Not a dollar.
Yes.
Not a dollar.
That
one cent apparently makes all the difference.
That's because Nicole knows how to follow the rules, Jason.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. See, I did that thing where I was like, why do they always say 99 cents when it's a buck? That's apparently what I did when I was buying the app.
And you sassed yourself out of the competition. That's what you did.
It's okay. It's okay. Yeah. You know what? I wanted somebody else to win this week. See?
Didn't somebody else win last week?
Well, yeah, but this week too.
Oh, got it. Okay.
In fact, might win this week.
I don't. Maybe
it's possible.
That 99 cent challenge is indeed pretty hard. so what I've got here is Pocket God. So I'm kind of taking the not so kiddie approach to games.
This is the other side.
This is the other side where you can pick up magnifying glasses and burn your villagers. I don't. Oh, my thumb's in the way. I got to figure out how to do this where my giant finger is not in the way.
Oh. So you've got a mirror,
and I'm using the sun to burn, and then it vibrates. Yeah. So you can add new villagers and drop them in the water and watch them get eaten by shark. Oh no, we should add a shark. You're gonna add a shark. So I just come out of here and tap to add a shark. There's the sharks. Let's go ahead and add a villager and feed the shark. That's pretty straightforward.
Wow, this is like the polar opposite, actually.
Yeah.
So instead of saving a poor, helpless alligator, you're just basically killing people.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right.
99 cents. You too can play God.
So is there a game element to it, or is it quite literally just what can you do to this guy?
Not that I've found. It's what you can do, and you can make them dance. You can tap your finger, so you can select a drum. So if you go in here and the finger gesture, and then change the temperature, you can we're shifting here. Hold on. You can tap to make them dance.
Someone in the chat room says that this is Tamagotchi for sociopaths.
Yes! Oh. Yeah, absolutely. This is Tamagotchi for sociopaths.
That's interesting. That's
awesome.
Okay.
So I'm going to lose because I just found out about this game. He wants a fish, and you can give him a fish. And somewhere in here, you can give him a fish. There's a bird.
There are a variety of ways to torture, or
gift, or mostly torture. There it is. Pocket awesome. God for exactly 99 cents, $1.
There's no snap here.
No,
only you, Jason.
That's
only
that's okay. Yeah. I'm willing to accept that minor oversight that everybody has a problem with because they don't want me to win. Otherwise, I would totally win.
Any way to get you out of the game. Anyway.
Believe me, Ron, if the roles were reversed, I'd be calling you out on the same
thing.
You would.
I know you would. You'd be there and you'd be like, listen, you didn't follow the rules. Sorry.
So I understand. I'm totally cool with that. So, however, I'm just going to go ahead and say the poll is already created and it has my app on it. I don't know.
So what happens if you win, Jason?
You'll be eliminated, that's all.
Actually, by voting for Jason,
it's just you should vote for something else.
Yes, exactly.
So let's see here. I think I might actually be able to remove mine from the poll.
No, leave it in. Let people vote. Yeah. We're just teasing.
I don't want to pollute the waters.
All right.
I don't want to.
I was going to make a Ross Perot joke, but I stopped.
Thank you. So go to bit.ly/therealAAApoll37. Last week I got it wrong. This week it's therealAAApoll37. bit.ly/therealAAApoll37. And you can vote for your favorite. Don't vote for mine, the ice cream Sanders lock screen, or X-Men, or Where's My Water, or Pocket God. We kind of covered the gamut here. Well, it was very games heavy for the official.
A lot of games are 99 cents.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. No. I feel like you're going to get a lot of sympathy votes, Jason.
People are voting for you anyway.
That's unfortunate because I really shouldn't get any.
Wow, this is going real time here. Neck and neck.
Oh, it's a real time.
Am I actually winning?
Just because
I'm winning.
Well, you're both tied. No.
I'm winning.
Yeah, now you're winning. Now you're running. 12 votes.
Well, people like killing little tribesmen.
Wow, I feel awesome. All right, no, I'm only kidding.
X-Men's climbing. It's
well, I hope to win.
Well, we'll see. If you win, I don't know what you get. If you win,
you get
to come back and bring your Galaxy Nexus.
Just to bring it back?
Yeah, just to bring it back.
Got it.
Yeah,
if it hasn't been released by the next time you're on, that might be really handy.
We don't need you. You just need your phone.
That's right. Well, right on. I think that is it. That's the episode. So we thank you guys for tuning in. Let's get to the pimpage part. First, let's start with our guest, Jason Applebaum. Why don't you go ahead and plug and pimp whatever you want?
Follow me on Twitter. It's at Applebaum. I've got CES stuff. Stuff's coming for CES. I've got big news coming for CES. Wow. Excited about.
Okay, and that's going to be found on your Twitter feed.
That will be on Twitter for sure.
Okay, Applebaum for those listening to the audio podcast.
Absolutely.
Hit him up on Twitter. And then, Nicole, thank you so much for stepping in today.
I'm in the office anyway.
I know.
That's great.
I love it. I'm so stoked that you're working here now. It's great. Is there anything? I mean, I know we talked about the review show and everything, but
yeah, just definitely stay tuned. We'll have reviews from you and the other staff employees at Twit, reviewing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we got a lot on the plate. And then people can find you on Twitter.
Yes, twitter.com/@Nicole.
Awesome. Right on. Well, thanks again. I'm sure you'll be on very soon again, considering you're in the house especially.
I'm right here.
Ron, what's up?
What's Up. So if you like the X-Men, that means you like comic books. You might want to go to ifanboy.com, which is the comic book website, news and reviews website that I work on, as well as, and that's owned by the company I work for called Graphically, which is a digital comic solution with Android apps. So go to graphically.com and you check all that stuff out. But if you want to find me, go to about.me/RonXO, and there's links to my Twitter, my Google+, my Facebook. All the fun stuff is there. That's where you can find everything all about me. And I will be back in studio next week. So
woo!
Yay. I will not be here next week. I will be out, so it will be you guys holding the fort down.
So we're not going to be able to rub it in. You're lost.
I know, right? Oh. See? That's perfect. I don't have to like revisit this in any way.
I'm curious to hear where Eileen nets out on the vote on the judgment of the price point being
the
wrong.
Dollar versus the 99 cents.
I think she'd go with you. I think she'd go with you, not what? Me.
Yeah, really? I think she'd agree.
Give you the penny. She'd give you the penny.
She'd round up?
I think she'd take the penny away.
No, I think she'd allow the dollar because ultimately Eileen's a nicer person than I am.
No, you know what? She'd require me next week to find a 98 cent app because those are going to be really hard to find.
Yes, it'd be really hard to
find. This week he's going to be paying me to make the 98 cent
app. There we go. I like that. All right. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Raygun01, or you can hit up at about me/Jason Howell. Easy for me to say. That's it for this week. Thank you guys for tuning in. You can send the show a voicemail. We can be reached at 347-SHOW-AAA. You can email us, send us a video mail like we got earlier, AAA@twit.tv. Hit the show up on Twitter. We're at Android Show. Show notes for all of our shows can be found at twit.tv/AAA. And finally, you can catch the show live every Monday starting right around 5 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this week. And we will see you, well, they will see you next week on another episode of All About Android. See you guys.